Radio was wonderful because your mind just went all over the place.
Perfect. That's why we're doing radio today.
Yep.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are theater geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 24 of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This episode is entitled, They're Misbehavin', or...
Audience Slapdown 101.
What we are going to talk about today is... Marcia has, for years, when she was with a local newspaper, written an article, kind of a recurring article, about pet peeves about audience members. And so that's kind of what we're going to revisit that just a little bit today, because we think that sometimes audiences, as wonderful as they can be, there's once in a while somebody in the audience that is just a little too annoying or is a problem for other patrons. And we're talking mostly about, you know, problems for other patrons. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and how not to be a crummy theater patron, right? And
right.
We also have our guest geek is back with us again today. Randy Zonker has agreed to stick around for his third episode of Theater Geeks. Welcome again, Randy.
Thank you, Dave.
And
because he's been there and done that.
He's been there and done that. And yeah, Randy's experience. We one of the previous episode we talked about house management, and one of the things that house managers do have to deal with are naughty patrons. So what, Marcia? What is your biggest pet peeve? Because I know you have a number of them that you've written about over your years in theater.
I have a gazillion of them. You know, and it's not restricted to community theater.
No. This is all over the place.
Theater.
Well, the biggest.
I don't know. I guess one of my pet peeves is latecomers. And this is not just at the beginning of the show.
Oh.
Latecomers, anytime, act one, act two, it doesn't matter. You should be in your seats when the lights go down and the curtain goes up. Otherwise, you're obstructing views from other people. You're disturbing other audience members when you're climbing over them to get to your seat. It not only disturbs the audience members, but it also has to disturb cast members.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially in a small theater like ours. I mean, you can see them kind of climbing over people to get where they belong. And there's really, I know in a musical specifically, there are places where ushers can seat latecomers at the audience at their discretion. But for act two, there's no excuse for coming in late. I recently went to a professional production where as act two started, half the audience came running down the aisles and I was in an aisle seat, and people stood in front of me for the first 5 minutes of the second act trying to find out what row they were in and where they belong.
In the second act?
Like they didn't know
where they were before?
Well, when the lights are out,
you're trying to find.
Finally, the lady across the aisle from me said, "This is row K." You know, and half the people went, "Oh," and they went back up the aisle. That's one of my very pet peeves.
Well, and the thing, now, most theaters will not seat you once this show has started, unless you're on an aisle, and they can slide you in pretty quick. But, you know, they'll find, you don't usually, if you're late and the show has started, you don't get to just walk right in and sit down if you're in the middle of an aisle.
No, I know that.
But sometimes, you know, maybe our listeners don't realize, but that's the way it goes.
Right.
But, and it's incredibly rude to expect that you will be allowed to come in there. But some patrons will complain about that. Well, I paid for my seat. I better be, you know.
Well, we won't seat. If there are seats in the back of the auditorium, we will try to usher them to those seats in the back until there's a point where we can either move them down or until intermission.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry you were late. You're going to have to sit back here. But, you know, there are some professional theaters that they put a camera in the lobby or a video monitor in the lobby, and you stand in the lobby until intermission. You were late. The show started. You're not coming in.
Yeah.
Right. And you're not getting your money back just because you were late.
No.
And right.
We've had people that we have been sold out. We had no seats in the rear. So they have stood in the lobby or outside the doors.
Waiting
until I just absolutely don't know what it takes to make them realize they've got to get there at least 10 minutes before curtain if you have your tickets, you know.
Have you ever seen people who come in a little bit late or, you know, and either manage to get seated, you know, at everyone else's displeasure and then, like, you know, partway through the act or partway through the show, they leave and don't come back?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they come in. What, did you come in for 10 minutes of theater? I've seen that happen, and it's very weird.
It's weird.
It's very weird. I mean, if you're going to – if the show is bad, for example
– wait till intermission.
At least wait till intermission to leave. You don't have to leave just, you know, to make everybody else upset. But – or if you, you know, not that the show is bad. Sometimes people just – it's just not their cup of tea, and they want to leave. Although, to me – you know, if you paid for a ticket and you're there, especially in a big city, where else are you going to go other than to a bar?
Yeah.
Just, you know, maybe, you know, sit there. Maybe you'll learn something, you know.
Well, in a professional theater, they're very, usually very strict about seating. This particular production was one which was millions of kids were there. You know? But the kids weren't the ones that were coming in late. They were the ones that were in their seats ready for the show to start, you know. The other thing, well, aside from the cell phone, crinkling candy papers, recording devices, which pretty much is announced now before every production. I know John is very specific about that. And I think maybe you ought to add to your little dissertation at the beginning, please, if you turn them off at intermission, remember to if you turn them on, remember to turn them, because people do. They run out in the lobby or they go outside and they turn on their cell phones. Mm-hmm. Like they can't live without their cell phones. And then they forget to turn them off when they come back in for the second act.
Yeah, last night I gave the opening speech and somebody literally in the front row had a candy just waiting for me to say, please unwrap your candy now. And he just sat there doing it and staring at me. And I went, just like you. Yes, thank you very much for unwrapping that just now. Yeah.
Did you?
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no,
we
do, that's all right.
We have an opening announcement in our theater, and I don't know how typical it is at other theaters, about the whole, you know, the cellophane wrapped candies,
think everybody does
which
it now.
Sound like thunder on stage for some reason, at least in our theater, and so we try to avoid that. I do remember one show that was sort of a special show for a corporate group, and we were doing a show, and we heard beer cans opening.
Yeah.
That was an unusual night, let's put it that way.
Well, I remember when they had, it was a special performance. I don't know if you remember that, but I had directed it, and I was in the lobby, and people at intermission, and when you do a special, it's always an extended intermission time.
Right, because they'll
have
food
or something.
And they
were having all their little cocktails in plastic cups, and then they came back after intermission, and several plastic cups just fell on the floor and rolled down the aisle. I mean, not the aisle, but between the seats.
Between the seats on the wood floor.
You know, and I figured, well, you know, they've all had enough to drink. It doesn't matter. They don't notice it. But it really made me mad. Yeah. Anyway, one of the other pet peeves I have is with a musical. And I'm not saying that our orchestras are always the absolute. It's not like a professional production. But the overture and the entr'acte are part of the show. The show starts the minute the first note is played. And really, one of my biggest pet peeves is people, particularly women, who talk all through the overture.
Like it's background music.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I just think that is so unbelievably rude.
Well, you know, I think that's probably just a cultural thing. People are so used to, like, how many places do you go where there's not a soundtrack to your activity? And so it's like they think everything's background. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, oh, well, they're not talking or the lights aren't up. So, you know, this is just for us to get in the mood. And I think you're right. They don't realize in the tradition of the theater, the overture is part of the show.
Well, that and then people don't applaud for it. And it's like, you know, these folks
have
been working
hard
for weeks on getting this music together. And that's an important part of the show just as much as anything. Please applaud for that.
Do we have to have applause shills in the audience?
The house management usually ends up being, you know, it's like they're supposed to start the applause.
The ushers start some applause from the back.
Oh,
that's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. People don't get it. Yeah,
no.
It's sort of audience training by example, in essence.
Well, they used to. I mean, I think it was a standard. But now, because like you said, Dave, people are so used to having music everywhere they go that you don't even think. It's just music. It's in your. It's there, and it's something to talk over, you know. And
talk over and not applaud, and that makes me very upset.
So, but noise is noise. Varieties of noise during performance is that really kind of like the main peeve that we have, or is there
I'll tell you, patrons who sing along with musicals.
Oh, those, that's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
I've been. Word. I was at a symphony concert, and a lady wanted to sing along with the guitar. There was a classical guitarist, and she was sitting next to us, humming along, loudly, with the concerto. I've heard that too. That seems very strange to me. Yeah. Anyway, but yes, singing along.
And then, of course, you've always got patrons who talk, you know, people who are hard of hearing. What do you say?
I was going to say they sit behind you or in front of you, and one person will explain to the other person what's going on the stage. And I thought, if you would just shut up and look and listen, you'd know.
Right.
Well, with patrons who come in late also.
Oh, yeah.
Who miss the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes of a show.
They're being caught
up. Usually stop them at the door, and I say, before they walk into the auditorium, you missed this, and this, so that you now know what's going on. Go. And then we send them down the aisle so that they are at least caught up with what's going on. Well, the last thing I want them to do is exactly what we're talking about.
Right. I have no idea what's going on up there.
Yeah, really.
Do you know Harry? Because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they think it's like, well, but, and again, television, you can come in 5 minutes or even 10 minutes into a TV show and kind of get it after a few minutes.
Or
you know what's going on.
Whatever.
But the point is that it's. I think that culturally we've just changed. But I think do we have people who still take cell phone calls by any chance?
Oh yeah,
occasionally
in the
audience
during the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had it.
Yes, it still happens.
And they'll jump. A lot of times, what happens is they've got it on their phone on vibrate. Then they'll jump up and they'll start the conversation as they're walking out of the auditorium. But they do.
Yeah. The only excuse that I can see for that, if it's a doctor who's receiving an emergency call, you know, but not, you know, somebody's kids are calling.
Oh, and
something.
Then here's talk about doctors and a pet peeve of mine. A show where you can invite the entire family, or even if it's not a show that the entire family can come to, but knowing that your child is sick and bringing your child to the theater just so that they can throw up in the auditorium.
Oh, boy.
Not my idea of the right thing.
Right.
To
that's
do.
When you find out when they do throw up in the auditorium, you say, well, I knew he wasn't feeling very well. I say, well,
I don't know how long that
we would have given you your money back if you
had
a call.
Chair had to stay there.
Right.
Oh,
no.
You know, if we're carpeted, the last thing I want to do is have a kid puke in the auditorium. I'm sorry. Maybe this is too violent for people, especially if you're listening on like a Monday morning and you're just at work or something. I'm sorry.
That's right. We'll put a note.
But these are true life adventures.
Don't listen to this.
Oh
my goodness. Well, and then
you wouldn't believe
it. Again, house management has to clean that up. You know.
Right. So what's the worst, Manny? As a house manager, what do you think is the worst thing to have to get confronted with a naughty audience members?
With the naughty audience,
right? Yes.
Is the talking is one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is one of them because you do have to go down.
And I was going to say, you do that.
Ask them to please be quiet.
Right.
And then when you have to repeat it to the same ones, then you try.
Have we ever removed someone? We've removed babies.
Don't we still say no babies?
We do
babies
say
or
no
toddlers?
Babies or toddlers, but people still insist on bringing their babies sometimes,
right?
Especially to our young, like our youth theater shows and things. We have a lot of little ones, and it's okay. I mean, as long as they're in control. But if they start crying, you've got to remove them.
You
from
have
the auditorium.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
When our
kids were little, if we ended up with a fussy kid, in one way or another, and my kids are all grown now, but. So we don't have that problem anymore. But when they were little, we were out of the auditorium like within a second. If it was obvious we were not going to get this under control, if it was a momentary little squawk, fine. But if it was going to go on even 5 seconds, we were out of there. And that's, I think that's standard courtesy. That ought to be standard courtesy with any audience member who's got a child. And the problem is, you know, people, you know, you tell people to be quiet. Of course, they're supposed to laugh. They're supposed to, you know, applaud. That's noises that are okay. But again, I think that culturally, they think of plays as being like television, which a lot of people talk over television, which drives me nuts too. But some people do it because at home nobody cares.
Which is the same way they're doing in movie theaters. Yeah.
That's right.
That's
why I
don't
go to the movies. Honestly,
we don't either.
Right. I wait for the DVDs to come out because I grew up in an era when there were ushers at the movie theater. And if someone was being disruptive or talking loudly the ushers came down and they went out.
They were like cops. The ushers were cops.
One of the other things that is very annoying is the picture takers. And you do have them because so many
people
take
pictures. It's not even legal, really.
No, it's not legal.
Because they don't need a flash. Their camera and or their phones will take pictures. And usually we hear about those from backstage because the actor said, well, there's somebody out and they can see the people taking the pictures.
Well,
so we have to try to...
Other than the legal standpoint, if they're not making noise, is it a problem? I've never seen that myself. I've noticed it from on stage anyway.
Yeah.
Is it just distracting because
if they're not using a flash, I don't know, but it's just not, they really shouldn't. It can be distracting if there's a noise or a shutter noise or something like that. So,
yeah.
And I think one of the other things that's annoying, not just to the actors that are on stage, but to other patrons, are the people that work in the auditorium during a show.
Who wants to work? I mean, like what kind of work?
Oh, they're shuffling their papers. Through papers. We have people that like to knit, and
I do remember we had a knitter. We had a knitter in our theater who would almost always drop a needle during the performance sometime, and it rang like a bell.
She sat onto a hardwood floor. She always sat in the front row in A10.
It's like Madame Defarge, waiting for the heads to roll.
And it never bothered her
knitting
husband.
The names in.
Yeah.
It never bothered
her husband because he was the snorer.
I was going to say, that's the other thing. The people who sleep in the show during the show.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, yeah.
Yes, and it takes a little bit of delicacy to awaken someone that is snoring loudly.
Well, what happens? Gosh. Like somebody's doing work, like
well, it's so easy now,
like grading papers and stuff. But how can you do that in the dark anyway?
Well, I mean, with iPads and all this iPhones
and
stuff,
it depends on where you're sitting.
You can answer your emails now. You can do all kinds of stuff while you're sitting.
That's
true.
You can do that. Yeah, and
the distracting part, of course, is that the darn thing lights up.
Yep.
And I've seen it in movie theaters too, where the kids start to text, and they don't realize how bright that is. It's like,
yeah.
The whole auditorium is lit up. One of the theaters here actually said, you will be ejected right now if you start doing that. Zero tolerance.
Tell me which one I'll go to that
one. I didn't even realize how much light computers put off until the other night when I had my computer on and I went to go to bed. I turned off all the lights. I thought, what's on?
Yeah.
I don't understand what's on. Computer? And the whole room was lit up.
This computer actually has this. I'm sitting in front of a laptop, folks, but this laptop actually has quite a bit of light coming out of it, even when the screen is black.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just amazing what that can do to an auditorium, especially like when you're doing lights. I mean, this is kind of coming full circle for Randy. You put a blackout on stage
and there's lights
up in the auditorium because people are on their cell phones or on their iPads or whatever.
Yeah, and you really have to have kind of, I mean, that's where the house management and just common courtesy kind of intersect because you really have to stop that kind of thing. The theater that I'm talking about literally had a police officer in the auditorium going around it.
Locally?
Before they finally just started posting the rule.
Oh my God, they didn't shoot him.
No.
Well, you know what? I think now in the era of the iPhone and the iPad, I mean, the iPad is that big.
Right.
But it's very lightweight, and you can do everything with it except telephone. And that emits a lot of light.
Yeah. Well, there shouldn't be any kind of electronics that emit light in an auditorium. I don't see that as being even tolerated. You know, that shouldn't be in there.
But again, we have such immediacy today with all these new electronic gadgets that we've got that it's just part of our lifestyles now, especially for people who are, I'm not going to say anything, because I'm 47 and I'm not overly adverse in electronic gadgets, but people 40 and under, especially, I mean, they just have everything, the gadgets that you can have.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It's just part of
and
their
needs,
nature.
And it
now.
Needs to go away. The theater has a much longer tradition than the iPhone does, let's put it that way.
It does.
Yes.
And of course, one of the things that bothers me, and it goes back to the dinosaur area, is people people used to dress up to go to the theater.
Oh,
they used
yeah.
to dress nicely. It used to be an occasion, an event. And if, I think if I see one more guy walking in with Bermuda shorts and flip-flops on, I'm just going to say something.
You know, that's not so bad for a dinner theater in or for a dinner theater in Florida or something. Even, maybe
right, you
know,
right. I see it in New York. And it I just know
and we see
me.
We see it in our theater here. But I have to admit now here I'm going to say, because I want patrons in my building. I appreciate the fact that my house management dresses well.
Yeah,
and so they are a representation for the theater. But if as long as they're not wearing some sort of hoochie mama pants, and you know, and their focus is drawn to them, I just want people in my seats. And so if it means Bermuda shorts, yeah. now, I guess. But I still dress up. If I go, I went to New York to see a show. My only show I've ever been to New York to see was Chicago, and I wore a suit and a tie, and it's mm-hmm. like, this is an important event for me, and there were people in shorts.
You were better dressed than most of the people there,
well,
probably.
Well, you know, you figure, especially in New York, you pay $135 for a ticket.
It's an event.
Why would you wear shorts and flip-flops? I don't know. That's just me. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that, I really think it doesn't, you know, there's something special about going to a live theater, I think.
Right.
Whether it's community theater or regional theater or a tour or in New York.
Well, or for that matter, you know,
an
opera or symphony concert or something like that. Same deal.
Yep.
You know, now if you're going to go see the Rolling Stones, I guess it's almost a sporting event, but that's a different kind of, that's a different kind of deal.
It
I mean, it's a different
it
audience.
Is.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, I think it's really important I like to class it up in
well,
the theater.
Well, you know, I hear where John's coming from, and it's right. You want to get people in the seats, and if they come looking like slobs, well, you got to put them in anyway, but I still don't have to like it.
Yeah. I still just, this floors me that people actually would be doing work. I've just not seen that. Randy's must.
I haven't either.
Here's another one. Perfume or stinky patrons.
Oh
I don't know. I don't know how you deal with it. There's not
you smell too
you
good or
do.
Smell too bad. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't either, because somebody that I go to the theater with frequently is allergic to mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Oh.
And she has to take Benadryl or some kind of an antihistamine before she even can walk in the theater, because there's always somebody that is going to just,
extremely
terrible.
Strong perfume.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
More so than, and it's more of a good smeller than a bad smeller.
Yeah, I've had.
I guess the thing is, you should take a shower and not put on perfume before you go to the theater.
Oh, jeez, that's right. So don't.
It's true.
So don't stink at the theater, folks. That's the short
even if
answer.
The theater can stink, but
you
should.
You shouldn't. The play might stink. Yeah. And on that note,
don't walk out of the show until intermission. There we go.
Don't walk out of the show until intermission. Okay. And so anyway, that's. I think that's a good place to stop. You know, we could probably talk about this a whole bunch more, but anyway, and we'll return to this.
If people have their pet peeves, they should let us know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'd like to send us.
Everybody has pet
send us your pet peeves. We will come up with a way to interject them or make another whole show out of this. This is an endless, perennial, what we call an evergreen topic here.
As long as your pet peeve isn't people who speak on the radio about theater.
That's
right.
That's
what we want to hear.
Okay. Anyway, that's all the time we have. I will thank, before we do the closing, I will thank Randy Zonker for spending 3 shows with us here in a row.
Absolutely.
And we really, really appreciate it. For those of you who haven't guessed, we do record usually several shows kind of in a group that get released out over the feed biweekly schedule. But Randy has been kind enough to sit in on 3 episodes, and he's a great addition to us. So thanks again. And please come back, and remember to stop by the Theater Geeks website at www.theatergeeks.com and look at the Theater Geeks store. www.theatergeeks.com/store will take you right to it. You can buy a hat, a mug, a t-shirt, a tote bag. What
underwear?
Else? Underwear. Not underwear. No, not underwear. I may have to add underwear just because, anyway. But John's always asking for it. I don't know.
I want
who,
a thong.
Who do you? Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Really good.
And so please stop by the website. Remember to drop us a line. And thanks for listening. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we definitely are theater geeks.
Okay.
Okay.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.